What a wonderful thing God has done for us. He has given us everything we need to live a godly life on this earth, in this world, which Peter describes as a corrupted world. But in this very world, we can live a different kind of life, a godly life. And God gives us all we need and offers us an invitation to even participate in his nature. How amazing. This is the kind of thing Peter is talking about. And we've been hearing over the past few weeks from Jordan and from Rob. I'll be continuing the teaching on 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want to do that by way of giving an overview of this first part of Peter's letter using a diagram from David Pawson. Found this very helpful. So have a look at this. Okay, it's a photograph out of a book, so that's why it's not great quality, but let me just run you through that. This is a picture of the house of God, the household of God, the kingdom of God, the family of God. And as you see on the bottom there, the foundation, it's a foundation of faith. Faith in God and faith in his word. The whole of the church is built on faith in who God is and what he has said, and it never changes. Now over here on the steps leading up, this is the entrance to God's house. Peter talks in his message in Acts chapter 2, talking to a great crowd of people and exhorting them to come into God's kingdom. And he says this is through repentance, through to being baptized and receiving the Holy Spirit, all through our dependence on what Jesus has done for us at the cross. That's how we enter the household of God. So the journey from then on is intended to be one of being a baby Christian to becoming a mature, strong believer. And again, he goes on here to explain some of that. So here we have, as you see, there are two floors in this house. This is diagrammatic, of course. And you notice a stairway there, steps that are built on the faith that we come into God's house with. And as we have been hearing over the past few weeks, the way to maturity, the evidence of maturity, is when we start to show these qualities in our lives. Things like goodness, like knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. We are climbing a staircase of growing in maturity. And the top floor there is love. Love is the word that crowns some of the lists of character qualities, of godly qualities that God is looking for. Love is the final thing that brings them all together and is kind of the final expression of them. Now, this is meant to be the pathway that Christians follow. If you look at the right side of this diagram, you'll see someone at the top there, second floor. This is the person who's gone on to maturity. They've remained strong in their Christian life, and they are, when they finish their time on earth, they will enter the kingdom of God in for eternity, leaving this earthly body behind and being given a new one. Now, all of these are topics in themselves that could be given a lot of time to teach on. This is just a brief summary. Now, there's a bit of a concerning one here too. There appears to be someone who has entered the house of God but is now falling out the back door. This is actually really concerning. And looking at this picture may raise more than one concern for some of you as you think about the implications of it. Some may be thinking, this seems to be saying that I enter the house of God, the family of God, his kingdom, through faith, but then it looks like I have to start earning my salvation. And what about this person who's, are they actually falling out of God's family? What's going on there? Well, I'm going to be talking about those things next week. This week, we are looking at the verse 8, which follows verse 7. So Peter is saying to build into our lives, grow in these qualities of faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, and so on. And then he says this, and this is our focus for this morning. He says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we want to pick up on those two words, ineffective and unproductive. Peter does not want us to be ineffective and unproductive as Christians. So that's his focus here. Ineffective also means idle. It means inactive. It's a person who's come into God's house and is actually just coasting along and not actually putting any effort into anything. And the word here, unproductive, it's usually translated, well, it's translated in many versions as unfruitful. So it's interesting, Peter doesn't say here what fruit looks like. In this letter, he doesn't tell us what it's going to look like in your life if you bear fruit. But in the New Testament, there are several references to fruit bearing, and they will fall under these two headings. And this is often a way we can look at fruitfulness. That's a summary of what these words mean. Putting them in the positive, they mean be active, be fruitful in your Christian life. These are ways we can understand fruitfulness. In the area of doing, obviously the things you do and the results of what you do. And then there's another aspect of fruitfulness, and that's about who you are, the kind of person you are, your character qualities. So we're going to think about fruitfulness in these two areas this morning. And a question that we need to ask ourselves then is, well, where does this fruitfulness come from? Okay, I'm a Christian. I want to be active. I want to be fruitful. Where is that going to come from? Peter gives us the key here. In the last phrase of this verse, he says, this will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a key. Fruitfulness in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that can take us back to some of Jesus' own words. John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. This is Jesus teaching about fruitfulness for people who follow him. This is fruitfulness in God's kingdom. This is how it works. Interesting, if you want to bear fruit in God's kingdom, you don't focus on bearing fruit. You focus on remaining in Jesus. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. That's a really important thing. So what does it mean to remain in Jesus? Remaining in Jesus refers back to this word here, knowledge. Knowledge in the Bible Of course, it can include head knowledge about things. That's really important. Grow in your understanding of things. Grow in your knowledge of God. But the emphasis with this word in the Bible is on experiential knowledge. It's learning through experience. And in the case of a relationship with Jesus, it is knowledge which consists of an intentional and interactive relationship with Jesus. The kind of way we get to know him through in that relationship. Jesus says, come to me and learn from me. If we're learning something, it means there's a process going on there. There's a time factor. There's engaging. There's reflecting. There's changing. There is growing and there is fruit bearing through that relationship with Jesus. And in the relationship with him, see, we might be thinking, okay, well, what kind of fruit am I going to bear? What do I need to do? We've said what we need to do. The primary thing, remain in him. And then we can trust him to produce the kind of fruit through us that he wants to. What he wants to produce through us, not what we want to do. And I assure you that he will do that. He will lead you. He will produce the fruit through you that he wants to as we remain in him. And a great thing about this is you don't have to be like somebody else. Often we see somebody doing something, we admire them, we think, oh, I wish I could be like that, or, well, I'm just me. The good news is just you is fine. That is the best thing, to just be you. Because God made you how you are and he's totally happy with you. He's going to, of course, be changing you and growing you, but you don't have to change. And the earliest time I think I recall really seeing that in play was when Marg and I were students at the Weck Bible College. This is way back 1983. Some of you may remember a man called Stuart Dinnan. If Elizabeth was here, she would. And another man, Evan Davies. So when Marg and I were at college, Stuart Dinnan, he had just stepped down from being a principal there. And Evan Davies was going to take his place. Now, Stuart Dinnan was a pretty dynamic man. He was a great Bible teacher. He was very kind of charismatic in his personality. He used to be a major in the British Army, so he had a certain style about how he led. And he had a broad impact, I think, in the Tasmanian Christian community. Well, he stepped down from the role of principal, and Evan Davies took that on. Evan Davies was very different. He was quiet, softly spoken, unassuming. People would have been wondering, okay, we've got this man stepping down and this other very different person coming into that principal's role. Is the college going to do okay? It's a natural thought. And it was really impacting for me when 1 or 2 years later, Stuart Dinnan, the first principal, he came back to visit the college. And he stood up in front of the college and spoke about different things. And one of the things he said was, it's a humbling thing to come back and find that things are going better than when I left. What was going on? Well, the man that God put in place instead of him was really different, and that was okay, because it was what God wanted to produce through him that mattered, not how he felt about himself, whether he felt, oh, I should be like Stuart. No, being himself was all that was needed, and that all you need to do is be yourself to bear fruit in God's kingdom. So I'm talking here about doing. Who you are, sorry, in serving. And someone might be thinking, yeah, right, I really want to serve God. I'm going to go out and serve him. It's a great ambition to have, to serve God, make a difference in the world. Great things can happen for a person who has made themselves available to God. God hasn't changed. Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. He's still at work in the world. One of the very well-known first missionary, the man who was known as the father of modern missions, that was William Carey, went to India, paving the way for many others and for missions to expand ultimately around the globe. And he said, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Big God, don't make him too small, and expect him to do great things through you. And I want to encourage us to know that God is great and that he does great things still through people who are available to him. But I also want to say, don't jump at that. I want to urge us, we're thinking about bearing fruit in the area of what we do, in how we serve. I want to really urge us to think about the circumstances we are in now. What's going on in our lives now? Because the fruit of doing should begin in our day-to-day lives with what we have before us right now. And that is often where God wants to see what our attitudes are. He wants to give us opportunities in small things before he trusts us with bigger things. So let's start now in the circumstances of our lives, in the workplace, here at church, at home, with neighbours, the circumstances around you. And another thing I just want to say, please don't be thinking, when my circumstances change, then I can serve God. Then I can start doing things for him. No, we don't need to have anything different. It's already there. Just look around you and God will show you how he wants you to serve him, even in small ways. I read about a person who felt he had a call to go into ministry, full-time ministry. And he was just excited about that, and he just wanted to get into that. But the door wasn't opening. He wasn't somehow be able to get to that. And he listened to a message on the radio, and the message was entitled, Bloom Where You Are Planted. Right where you are, that's where you need to bloom. So he decided, felt God was speaking to him, he decided to focus on his job. I want to be the best employee I can be where I am. I'm going to serve in my church in the ways that I'm able to. And then at the right time, God opened up the door for him to move into ministry. Now we have a song, part of a song, that I feel expresses this really well. We can go on to that whenever you're ready, Jason. Okay, listen to the words of the song.
It's a mama singing songs about the Lord. It's a daddy spending family time the world says he cannot afford. These simple moments change the world. It's a pastor at a tiny little church. 40 years of loving on the broken and the hurt. These simple moments change the world. Dream small. Don't buy the lie, you've gotta do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are. One day at a time, live well. Loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With his great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. Dream small. It's visiting the widow down the street, or dancing on a Friday with your friend with special needs. These simple moments
That's all right. We'll stop there. I think you might have got the message. Bloom where you're planted. Dream small, look around us. There are so many opportunities there to serve the Lord. And in his time, he can take you on to other things, and I hope he does. Marg and I visited Rob and Martri on Friday. I'm sorry she's back in hospital again, Rob. And that we had a very nice visit with them. And I've got a miniature here of a lovely painting that is out here in the foyer that Martri did. It's one of many that she's done. And when we were in Robin Martri's home, I was just so impressed and touched by the fruit that has come out of this one person. And she's expressing her heart for God in the way that he's gifted her. Most of her, at least some of them, I don't know how many, but some of her artworks are expressing a spiritual truth. And the one out there, the verse that goes with that is Matthew 16:24. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." That's an expression of that truth. Martri is not doing the artwork for its own sake or for herself. As I said, it's an expression of her faith. Each one of us in the household of God has faith. And that faith, according to how God has made us and gifted us, can be expressed in ways that glorify him. Now, it's going to look different for each of us, of course. We shouldn't talk about bearing fruit without making a reference to spiritual gifts. God, the Holy Spirit, gives certain abilities or gifts to the people in his family. Some of them include things like encouraging. If someone has a gift of encouragement and they are expressing that gift, you're going to see them moving around and in small ways encouraging people. Could be through words, could be through a card or something, could be through a gift that they give at a certain time. They'll find ways to do it because it's in them and it'll just be expressed. Someone with a gift of serving. You see that too, and I immediately think of Daryl and Glenys. Gift of serving. God has given each one of us spiritual gifts that will want to be expressed. Let's do that. Serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, showing mercy, and so on. But I'm just wanting to encourage us to be fruitful where we are. Look around in your at home, in the neighborhood, here at church. Now, fruit, bearing fruit in being, about who we are, the kind of person we are. And the well-known passage in Galatians chapter 5, talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There's a kind of fruit that the Holy Spirit wants to develop in us, and it's like the list of things that Peter gave. He's talked about goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, and so on. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is like that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. Now, he wants to produce those qualities in us. We're talking now not about doing the things we do in service. We're talking about fruit in who I am, the kind of person I am and the kind of person I'm becoming. That's really important to God. He is our Father and he wants us, his children, to be like him. So he's going to be stirring this kind of fruit in us. Going back again to Jesus' words, remain in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. And in that same passage in John chapter 15, he adds something else, another insight into how the fruit bearing is going to happen. He says, my Father is the gardener. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. So Jesus is saying that the Father is at work in us, and as we are bearing fruit, even if it's only a little bit, he sees it, and he will prune us. He'll be at work in our lives so that we'll be even more fruitful. That's a wonderful thought, but you know, that can be painful. Pruning. I'm famous in our family as a pruner. I really demolish a tree or a bush or whatever it is, and let me say I am really relieved to see that the bushes that I cut back to basically nothing about 3 or 4 months ago are actually sprouting little green things. I'm really relieved. Pruning can be painful. But as has been said, the gardener is never closer to the vine than when he is pruning it. The gardener is closest to the vine, he's actually touching it when he's pruning it. We have a friend named Carol from New Zealand who was a missionary in Taiwan. This is several years ago. And she told us about a time when God just felt so distant. And, you know, let me say, if God is pruning us, he may feel really distant. But actually, that's when he's closest. Carol felt like God was very distant. She was learning Chinese language, and she was just so discouraged. She just felt she was stuck. She felt overwhelmed with it. She felt she couldn't go on with it. Have you ever felt like that? Where things are happening in your life and you just feel, I just can't do this. She was kneeling at her bed before going off to language class, and she was crying out to God, pouring her heart out to him. And she heard a voice outside her window. She was on the second floor. And she heard this faint voice coming along, and the voice was singing. And it was singing in English. And she told us, as she related this story, she said, there was nobody in that part of Taiwan where I was living who spoke English. But she heard an English voice singing. And the voice was singing a hymn. It was singing, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've entrusted to him against that day. Old hymn, I know whom I have believed. Many of us older ones know that. She knew it really well. And here was a voice coming along in English singing that. She raced over to the, well, I don't know if she raced, but she went over to the balcony and she tried to see, but her balcony came out above the footpath and she couldn't actually see underneath. And whoever was singing walked underneath. She tried to see, couldn't see. And that voice continued through there and went out the other side and continued and faded away. And she never knew. But related to that, she said, I look back on that and I believe God sent an angel to encourage me right when I needed that. Was he pruning her? Was he wanting her to, yes, learn to pour your heart out to me and know that I am with you? Faith. Let me grow faith in you that I'm with you even when I feel like I'm a long way away. Was that the fruit he wanted to bring in her? What kind of fruit does God want to bring in us, the people we are? So you might be facing some kind of a challenge right now. Let me assure you, this is a fruit-bearing time if we remain in Jesus. That's the key. And I urge you to press into him and trust him to bring the fruit he wants to bring in you. We're talking, and I'm finishing now, talking this morning about bearing fruit in doing, in serving, and bearing fruit in being the kind of person I am. And it comes out of this intentional, interactive relationship with Jesus. By far, that is the thing he most wants us to learn and to live in. And we get lovely encouragements along the way that reassure us, yeah, I think I must be on the right track. In China, Marg used to volunteer on a veggie farm, a large veggie farm. And she often worked with a young Chinese man. They worked side by side. They had conversations about all kinds of things, including faith, life. And as the time came close for us to leave, he wrote this for her. Some of you who understand Chinese might know what it says. It says, "Sheng Ming Yin Xiang Sheng Ming." And that means life impacts life. He wrote this specially for Marg and gave it to her as a memory of their relationship. So what he was saying was, "Your life has impacted me." That's fruit. It comes out of the kind of person we are. The fruit we bear glorifies God. It blesses others, and we ourselves are enriched. So, I wonder this morning, has God said anything to you about bearing fruit? What is something that you can take away with you, that he wants you to remember or to do? Take a moment to think about that and ask him, "Lord, is there something you want to say to me about being fruitful for you?" Take a moment. Lord God, we are so thankful to you. You are the one who works in us. You are the one who you glorify your own name through us. We do our best with things, but our best isn't the thing that brings lasting fruit. It's the work of your Spirit in us. And I pray for each of us, Lord, that you will lead us in this interactive and intentional relationship with you, and that you will bear the fruit in us that you want. We trust you, Lord. You are a good God, and we can look to you and just respond to what you are doing in our lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.